Biden documents. Since the beginning, the president has been committed to handling this responsibly because he takes this seriously, White House lawyer Richard Sober said on Saturday. Sober added, the president's lawyers and White House counsel's office will continue to cooperate with the Department of Justice and the special counsel to help ensure this process is conducted swiftly and efficiently. The Biden document discoveries and the investigation into Donald Trump, which is in the hands of the special counsel Jack Smith, are significantly different. The Justice Department says Donald Trump took hundreds of records marked classified with him upon leaving the White House in early 2021 and resisted months of requests to return them to the government. President Biden has made a point of cooperating with the Department of Justice probe at every turn, though questions about his transparency with the public remain. The website of CNBC has also covered this story and tells us more. The FBI found more classified documents at the Wilmington, Delaware home of President Joe Biden during a consensual search on Friday, 20th of January, that lasted nearly 13 hours, his personal lawyer and a prosecutor said on Saturday evening. The discovery was the fourth time since November that classified records or material has been found at a private address of Joe Biden's. His personal lawyer, Bob Bauer, in a statement said the Department of Justice seized six items consisting of documents with classification markings and surrounding material. Joseph Fitzpatrick, assistant U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, told NBC News, I can confirm that the FBI on Friday executed a planned consensual search of the president's residence in Wilmington, Delaware. Some of the items dated from Joe Biden's tenure in the Senate, where he represented Delaware from 1973 through to 2009, Bob Bauer said, and some of the items were from his tenure as vice president in the Obama administration, from 2009 through to 2017. In addition to those records, FBI agents who did not have a warrant for the search also seized some notes that Biden wrote by hand as vice president, according to a lawyer and the White House. Neither Joe Biden nor First Lady Jill Biden were present during the search, according to Richard Sober, special counsel to the president. The items join an undisclosed number of classified government records previously discovered by lawyers for the president. A small number of classified records first were found by Biden's lawyers on 2nd of November at a private office that he kept at a Washington, D.C. think tank after ending his tenure as vice president in the Obama administration in 2017. The White House only disclosed that discovery on 9th of January. On 20th of December, a small number of classified records were found in the garage of Joe Biden's Wilmington home. A single page of classified material was then found at the Wilmington residence on 11th of January. Then the next day, five more pages of classified records were found in a room adjacent to Joe Biden's garage. When the Department of Justice officials traveled there to take possession of the single page found the previous day. The White House has said that when the president's lawyers found the previous documents, they immediately notified the National Archives and Records Administration and the Department of Justice. Friday's search was the first time revealed publicly that federal law enforcement authorities have conducted a search for government documents at Joe Biden's private addresses. Attorney General Merrick Garland earlier this month appointed a special counsel to investigate Joe Biden's retention of government records after he was vice president. Former President Donald Trump is under criminal investigation by another special counsel for taking hundreds of classified records and other government documents from the White House when he left office. Donald Trump is also being eyed for possible obstruction of justice by stonewalling efforts by government officials to recover those documents. The FBI in early August raided Donald Trump's home at his Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, Florida, where they found thousands of pages of government records. The FBI had a search warrant in that case. By law, presidents and vice presidents must return government documents to the National Archives when they leave office. Joe Biden and the White House have been criticized for the 2-month lag in disclosing the discovery of the first batch of classified documents at the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement in Washington, D.C.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. And in this program, we try to answer your questions, queries, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University, Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
We have one more audience question. What is the way to behave with a young boy who is misbehaving with his parents and gets upset very soon, be that at school or at home?
The child that we were talking about is maybe he and becomes irritated. He does not have the patience to deal with his feelings or others' behavior. The problem, we have to find the cause of it, the root cause of it. Where does it start from? Maybe he is living in a family who have very high expectations from him. They continuously scold him. they continuously make him do things which makes him things which make him cross the limits, and he is not capable of that. He becomes irritated. He feels that he cannot cope up with things. He has to go to the extremes to do it. He has children. The parents are not respecting him. They're not understanding him. They're not able to communicate with him. So he cannot express his feelings in a very simple way, in a convenient way. He feels suppressed. His feelings are suppressed. So in that sense, of course, he becomes irritated, and there are outbursts of anger when he cannot bear the behavior which is being meted out to him. He expresses his irritation or his anger in a manner which is not respectful for elders. So maybe the cause are the elders themselves, or, for example, he goes to a school where the teacher's behavior is not according to what it should be. A teacher is not just a teacher who is teaching him and imparting him information. Teacher is a guide, is a mentor, is a coach. So if he unfortunately does not find the teachers in such a way, they're not ready to listen to him, they're not ready to engage with him, they're not ready to give him time and respect his feelings, so he feels irritated. Now, we need to change our behavior and to make him realize that we are open for him, we are there for him, he can express his views, express his ideas, he can express his feelings without feeling bad about it. And that is one issue. Another issue is that, for example, when the behavior becomes so entrenched in his habits that it's difficult to remove it just by talking to him or engaging with him, there we need to deal with it with him in a firm way. Then again, a firm way does not mean to start to become angry as a reaction to his outbursts.
Okay.
It needs to be our way of behaving and telling him off should be also controlled. Sometimes he becomes happy, maybe sometimes he becomes disturbed and upset, but we should maintain a balance. We should in such a way that we need to make him realize that you're making a mistake. Even if he shows off, expresses joy, expresses things, there we should maintain a sort of decorum in which he feels that today he's being good, but the other day he was bad.
Okay, so we have to have that balance in our behavior.
We need to balance that and to make him realize that his habitual behavior, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, or it's mostly bad. Then you have to also behave in such a way. You have to behave with him in such a way. You have to behave with him in such a way that he realizes his mistake.
Yeah. So Professor, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakavi. We're discussing about an adolescent who feels irritated very soon and often misbehaves with his parents. Professor, there's a African proverb which says the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. So you said that a child is looking for something, and when he does not see that happening in the school, in the behavior of his parents, he gets irritated. So what has to be changed is the behavior around him.
Exactly. So basically, all human beings, as I said, need love and care, respect. They need dignity. So if someone, I mean, the basic concept that Islam gives and the Quran is karramna bani adam. Allah Almighty has created human beings and given them dignity. This dignity has to be maintained. So dignity of ourselves and dignity of others, both are in question. And that comes through love and respect. We should take, have a dignified and balanced behavior ourselves, and we should, by providing a role model to others, make our children realize that they have to maintain their dignity. They need to be respected, they need to be loved. Now, most of the times when in societies which are not educated, they are not, they have not been brought up in a good manner, all these things they're not there in society. The love, respect, how to talk to each other, how to be communicate with, how to be able to communicate properly in a tone which is good, which is dignified, which mm-hmm. is which attracts other people, which makes them feel good. Or even more important than talking is listening, to be good listeners.
Okay, sometimes you have to be a good listener.
One of the aspects of a good communicator, a good leader, is being a good listener.
Okay.
And the Holy Prophet is mentioned in the Quran to be a good listener.
Okay, he's mentioned as a good listener in the Quran.
Well, أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. He's a good listener for you. He listens to you. Whatever you, people come to him, they talk about it, their problems, their issues, and he patiently listens to them. So one of the things which we as parents
need... So here Prophet is being explained as an exemplar of a good listener.
Of a good listener. And today, when we talk about leadership and we talk about management, one of the...
Skills is
being able to listen.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on the topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I am Zainab with Professor Nakavi, and we're discussing about an adolescent boy who misbehaved with his parents and gets upset very soon at school or at home. Professor Nakavi, you said that it is basically the environment around that has to be changed, the behavior around, be that at school or be it parents. So what else can parents do? You said that sometimes you have to be a good listener. So one thing is clear, we don't have to fix all things in the adolescent boy himself. We have to fix things, something in ourselves. One of them is to be a good listener.
One aspect of being a good communicator is to be a good listener. So if we can't impose things upon our children, especially when they have reached an age where they can start thinking of their own and they become independent, and they feel that they're independent, and they feel that they know better than their parents. So you can't expect them to accept everything you say. You can't expect them to. You can't impose your will and your whatever you say. You need to be able to communicate your point of view, and the child should be able to communicate what he has in mind. So
right.
Then there's a positive debate about that issue. There's a positive issue way of dealing with it. Unfortunately, nowadays, the children who encounter so many things, especially in the virtual world, they think they know more than their children, their parents. And actually, that might be true. The information which children today receive is much more than their parents used to receive and understand. The information is monumental. It's different. It's so vast. And they may feel that their parents don't know. So one thing which is important is that parents need to keep themselves updated about many things which are happening today. Either they make their children, and they control the information volume for their children. And if they can't do that, then they need to remain abreast with the developments which are taking place so they can engage with their children. If they can't do it themselves, then they need to find a person who can
help them
and become a mentor for them and for their children and discuss with them and debate with them. There are so many people out there today, so many children. They can act as counselors. And there are so many questions today about the very basics of Islam, the very basics of the fundamentals of Islam. Today, unfortunately, because of this materialistic mindset that we all have, and as we mentioned before, the information technology, the explosion of information, the expansion of the human knowledge base about the universe and the absence of God in those in that information, where does God, Allah Almighty, come in? No one explains that. So with the vast amount of information coming from all over the world, people, children are today, they really know things which we do not know about. So we need to know about those things, and we need to be able to analyze those things, and we need to be able to make them understand that we know more than them, or at least we have more experience. We can analyze things much better than them, and then we can achieve results which are logical more than they can, because they, unfortunately, are their thoughts may be subdued, or maybe they may be under the influence of their feelings.
Yeah. So when a adolescent boy is upset with the environment around, or he is irritated or misbehaving, we got to see something is happening against his will, and we got to change the behaviors around. Rather than fixing the child himself, we have to fix things, many things ourselves, and we have to educate ourselves in many, many issues, seek help from the counselors around. Thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us start the day by contemplating on a brilliant piece of advice from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I admonish you regarding five things. If you are wronged, do not commit wrongdoing to others. If you are betrayed, do not betray anyone. If you're called a liar, do not be furious. If you are praised, do not be jubilant. If you are criticized, do not fret, but think of what it says in criticism. If you find in yourself what is criticized about you, then you are falling down in the eyes of God. When you are furious about the truth, it is much greater calamity than your falling down in the eyes of the people. And if you are opposite of what is said in criticism about you, then it is a merit you acquired without having to tire yourself in obtaining it.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Usually rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Don O'Keefe, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario, where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at the Apopo's Training and Research Center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. Apopo has already trained rats to detect landmines and sniff out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the scents of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life. Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on next to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far. The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country. You have probably seen penny farthings in old books and cartoons, the antique bicycle with one very large and one small wheel. Now, this peculiar bike actually brings fans together in Prague each year to show off their skills. The cyclists were all dressed in historical costumes as they rode in formation at Letno Park in Prague. The traditional one-mile race competition was also held to see who could go the fastest while keeping their balance. The riders, mostly elderly men, said they came there for just the fun of it. Penny farthings were invented around 1870 and were popular until models with two evenly sized wheels and chains were developed. Most bicycles today are based on this design.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years B.C.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored. I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says it's strange to meet so many people with the same name, obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful.
Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about the fault finder in the view of Islam.
سيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي.
Today, Tuesday, is the 2nd of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Hujurat, verse 11 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa'un إن عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
O you who have believed, let not a people ridicule another people, perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women, perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another, and do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one's faith. And whoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Merits springing from acting upon Islamic injunctions include providing a healthy environment and impeding social conflicts. It may be said that deriding and belittling, as mentioned in the blessed verse in question, serve as instances of such vices, but it should be borne in mind that uttering any word or committing any act that distorts Muslim brotherhood is forbidden. Thus, addressed to believers, the blessed verse is saying that you who believe should abstain from deriding your believing brethren. You are unaware of their hearts and acts. Those who have subject to your decision may be better than you. Believing women are strictly forbidden from deriding other women and casting sarcastic remarks upon them, since they are unaware of their excellence over them.
جلالي والإكرام يا
we're speaking about the fault-finding in the view of Islam. Be with us. Allah has clearly prohibited fault-finding, and beloved Prophet has condemned the action of finding faults in others and then spreading them amongst people. Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The one who seeks the faults of his Muslim brother, Allah Almighty will reveal his faults. And the one whose fault Allah Almighty makes apparent, he shall be disgraced even if he is set at home. It is the law of Allah Almighty that the one who defames another without any reason, Allah shall cause him to be defamed." However, there are a group of people who incessantly try to pick faults in people and are constantly looking to find faults in people and constantly strive to lift the curtains that cover the defects and shortcomings of others. This is one important phrase: negativity consumes a person. The negative feelings that the fault finder harbors regarding others eventually consumes the person, and his negativity eventually becomes part of the fault finder's character. Prophet Muhammad, therefore, advised us to refrain from holding bad opinions of people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about picking faults, and picking faults in others mostly. The effects of speaking bad and criticizing the actions of other people plays a role in the friendship and affinity between two people, such that this closeness is removed from them. The friendship and trust is converted into animosity and sometimes hatred, whereas praising a person for his good deeds and flattering him for his righteous acts results in the roots of friendship being made even stronger. In relation to people who always look at the weakness and faults of other people, Imam Muhammad ibn al-Baqir alayhi salam said, "Kafa bil mar'i 'ayban an yubsira min an-nas ma ya'mi 'anhu min nafsihi." Sufficient is a person's own defect in himself that he tries to pick and look for faults in other people when he himself has those same faults in himself and does not recognize them. If those who pick faults of others would spend the same energy that they use in looking at the bad in others, and through which they reproach other people and correcting themselves and looking at their own defects and trying to recognize their own souls, imagine what level of happiness they would be able to reach to. It is here that the value and worth of the hadith, which has come to us from one of the leaders of faith, is made clear when it has been said, "Man bahatha an uyub an-nas falyabda' bi nafsihi." The person who busies himself looking into the faults of others should start by looking into the faults of his own self. The greatest defect of such people is that they can never live around people in a community, since they will make known the inner secrets of others, and thus nobody would be safe from being in their company.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
One of the common ways through which people deflect their own shortcomings and do not face up to their own faults is to blame others. The fault we see may well not be in what we are looking at, but rather in our looking. Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, "Why do you look at little speck in your brother's eye and forget the blank in your own eye?" Hazrat Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, said, "The worst of people is the person who searches for faults in others while being blind to his own faults." Martin Luther King rightly said, "The highest form of maturity is self-inquiry."
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
This is today's special, and how to stop finding faults in others. One way, pick your words wisely. What, how, and when you say something can make all the difference in a conversation. You know what it feels like to be misunderstood, ignored, talked down to, talked over, and talked at. Not good. The tone and volume in which you are spoken to further impact how you process messages you receive. With simple word choice, your statement can go from a fault-finding one, judgmental or argumentative, to one that sounds conversational or solution-directed. For example, replace should with could. What could you have done? Replace but with and. I appreciate your input, and we have to consider other people's viewpoints. Replace why with what. What do you mean by that? And you can go on.
So the Quran says the reason why these people are so arrogant is because of this issue. Because, you know, they're piling up that wealth. They feel arrogant. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. So this beautiful chapter in the Quran, even though it's so short, it's so brief, but it really talks about a social ill that existed at that time, the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and it exists throughout history. And it exists in every society, in every community. And you see how the Quran uplifted so many people and really brought the light to their hearts. To be humble, to be just. And many, many people, alhamdulillah, throughout history, they have been touched by these verses. Let's read these verses. Let's honor chapters like these. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says in one hadith, if you recite Surah Al-Humazah in your daily prayer, you regularly recite it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do two main things. One, Allah will protect you from poverty and increase your sustenance. Allah will increase your rizq. And remember, rizq, my dear brothers and sisters, sustenance is not just money. It's quality of life. Allah will allow you to really enjoy your life, spiritually, with your family, psychologically. There are people who have millions, but they're not enjoying their wealth. Sometimes you may see their families are broken. They're experiencing so much depression, psychological disorders.
Topic was the fault finder in the view of Islam. Inshallah, on the next episode of this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio, we continue to search and find more about this interesting topic. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.